Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Sin. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear, The Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 7, entitled Shiva, and it was the mid-season finale.
Right. But there's a couple of ways to pronounce it. It's Shiva.
Okay.
I heard it pronounced a couple of different ways.
All right. What do you think it meant?
I think it's a god.
All right.
A Hindu god.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
All right. Well, the episode was written by David Weiner, who has worked on Fear the Walking Dead, The Killing, and Last Resort. And it was directed by Andrew Bernstein, who has worked on The Americans, Rectify, and Mad Men.
Cool.
Yep. Very good resume. All right. So here we are, mid-season finale. The show will not be coming back on until August. Literally, when the show came off, Gary was like, thank God. And if
that
he
put
didn't,
me on blast.
If you didn't say it, literally, that's what I was thinking. It was almost like podcasting should be fun. We should be enjoying watching the show, enjoying talking about it.
And we have for the most part.
And maybe because last night Game of Thrones had just such an epic episode. And then we come to watch this and we're taping this show before the Game of Thrones full recap, and it was just like, it was blah for me. I didn't enjoy it. I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it at all, but I didn't enjoy it for the most part.
I can't say I didn't enjoy the episode. I can say I didn't like it for a mid-season finale.
Okay, I will give you that. I will say that too.
I would like it for just any other ordinary Sunday's episode.
Right.
But this show should have been epic.
I agree. So the way our podcast works, is we discuss our likes and our dislikes, and then we have any listener letters, and then we do an award and a prediction at the end. We will be back in August. I'm not sure what we're podcasting around that time. I know Ballers, I believe, comes on in July, which we take that. But if no other show is conflicting with it and we feel like doing it, we probably will go back to Instant Cast for Fear the Walking Dead as long as no other show is conflicting with that schedule.
I don't think we have another show conflicted with it.
I don't think so either.
Nothing as big as Fear.
Yeah, nothing as big as Fear. But you just never know, something good pops up and you're like, oh, this is brand new show. It looks epic. So, but for right now, we should be able to do Instant Cast on that. And hopefully they're better when they come back. All right, so first on our likes list, I liked some things, of course. We have our likes here, so I did enjoy some parts of the episode. But the dream within a dream that Daniel had at the beginning, I thought it was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Very Inception-like.
Yeah.
Because when he's like, what's on your face? I was like, oh my gosh, did somehow she get shot? Like, I completely forgot that the only person that shot a gun at that time was Strand. But for some reason, I was like, oh my gosh, it was a stray bullet. Oh no, that's going to hurt Daniel's heart.
Actually, we heard the gunshot twice. We heard it when he had a dream when he was a kid. He was by a swamp. Last episode that we seen someone grab a neck, or he had a little flashback after he grabbed a little kid's neck.
Right. Well, I thought he was grabbing a kid's neck, and you said, no, that might have been Daniel getting his neck grabbed.
And it was confirmed. That was Daniel.
Right.
So he heard a gunshot and woke up, and next thing you know, Ophelia had blood coming from her face and just pulled her face off, you know, some Michael Jackson Thriller type shit.
Right. Well, that's when I was like, okay, this isn't real, when she start pulling the skin off her face.
Right. But we hear the gunshot again. Another thing I like about this scene is it started where it ended. This episode started right after the last scene of the last episode.
Right.
With Strand shooting his boyfriend in the head.
Yeah, it was a cool scene. A dream within a dream. I liked it. It was a dream within a flashback, or a flashback within a dream that was a dream or something. But yeah, very cool episode. Or very cool scene. Next on our likes list is, there's still good people out there. That we enjoyed that. The father that was trying to protect his son, you know, he could have just sent Travis on his way and was like, get out of here, you know, hurry up, because crazy Chris had his son. But
yeah,
instead he took the time to give him water. He took the time to give him shoes.
Yeah.
And if you think of it, that big picture now, knowing that his son was in danger, he was scared for his son, but he still stopped and did these little things for Travis.
Right.
Was nice. Was nice to see.
It was cool to see. And I love it more since I know that Chris had his son, so he could have just sent him on his way. He could have sent Travis along.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of got me liking it more as well. All right, so we see Nick with the blood, the zombie blood on him a few episodes now. But when he popped up with Celia's son, I was like, what the hell? Like, is that what you do now, Nick? You just go. And I did see someone write on Twitter somewhere, they're like, where in the hell is he getting all this zombie blood from? Like, does he just have, like, zombies around? He just, cuts them open and puts their blood on?
Yeah. he has an endless supply.
But what do you think about him, Brain? Do you think that was, do you agree with what he did?
Really, that was just silly to me. Where did he get Celia's son from?
From the yacht. Remember, from the yacht. That's how I knew they were going to bring him back, since they didn't shoot him in the head. But remember,
they said they didn't know if the yacht was still there.
Well, I think they were saying that because they just didn't know. Like, what if someone came and got the yacht? So it was not saying that something happened to it for sure. It was just like, shit, we left it there, but who knows where it is now? It is the zombie apocalypse.
I don't know. It just, every scene with Nick just walking up on somebody with blood was just silly to me.
Yeah, yeah.
He brought back Cecilia's son. He found Travis. And we see how long Travis been walking.
Right. I didn't even think about that. Travis was walking for like 24 hours. He had blisters on his feet and everything. Yeah.
First he ran for an hour.
Right.
And then he walked for like another 2-3 hours.
All right. But then again, he didn't have shoes on. That's why his feet was hurting. Because he wasn't planning on running after Chris. That was just like, oh shit, Chris. And then he ran after him.
Okay.
So Celia, as crazy as she is, I do like when she was like, this is not the apocalypse, this is the beginning.
Yeah, that was deep. So what do you think she meant by that?
I don't know if she said it or someone else said it before, but it implied that, you know, this is the new world. I think one of them used that phrase before, like, this is the new world. We're just, now we have to be a part of it. We have to adapt to it. And they've kind of said that on The Walking Dead. And Bob kind of told Rick, like, no, this is not the new world. You know, don't think of this as the new world, because watch, one day this is just going to be a nightmare and you're going to have to remember all those horrible things that you did.
Right.
So I kind of thought of, I thought a few things kind of remind me of The Walking Dead this episode, as it sometimes does. But her saying that this is the beginning, that they think this is zombies, that's how we are now, like, that just gonna live with zombies, we have to live with them, and that's just part of our life now. I don't agree with it, but that's what I think she meant.
I think she's in the same place where Herschel was, or the governor, where they think these people could be saved. Herschel had his whole family in a barn thinking that one day a cure was gonna come along and he would have his family back. We've seen the governor trying all kind of experiments on his daughter, try to bring her back. I think that's why she said this is not the apocalypse, because she thinks she still has hope.
I don't get why they still have hope when the people, their bodies are rotting. Like, their skin is going away. They're pretty much turning into bones only. I mean, not yet, but it's clear that nothing can bring them back.
Well, it's just like dealing with death in general. When someone in your family or someone close to you die, you're just in denial. You can't believe it. It doesn't matter how much time passed. I mean, eventually you would get over it and you realize that this is reality. But it takes a while to get to that point. And by there, people still walking around, still eating. You know, it's probably harder for them to accept.
That makes sense. All right, so I'm not really sure what was going on with Daniel this episode. And we'll talk more on it in the dislikes. But one of the likes we did have is him telling Strand not to bury Thomas's body there.
Right. Yeah, he was saying it was unholy land. That, you know, even if he bury him, he'll be back. Which I don't understand, because he gave him a headshot.
Yeah, I didn't get him saying that too. Like, he'll be back. I don't know if he meant it as far as because his wife. Like, maybe in his nightmares, he'll be back.
I almost had like the Pet Cemetery feeling again. Remember I told you before, you know, I was having a Pet Cemetery feeling, like if they bury the people, they'll be back. They come back, but they won't come back how they were.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting those vibes again.
Okay.
But what you said made more sense. That maybe he will be back to hunt him. This is not the appropriate place to bury him.
But then again, Daniel's wife wasn't buried there. I mean, she was all the way in LA. Was she on sacred land there too when she's coming and, you know, visiting Daniel, or her spirit's visiting Daniel? So what makes that situation different than...
Well, maybe he think that because he didn't start seeing her until he got there.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, I like Nick telling Madison, you know, he's explained to her that the reason why he's not scared, he doesn't fear them. He said, I walk among them. I move among them. I'm invisible.
Yeah, the invisible juice.
The invisibility cloak.
Yep.
A few things I like about it is only because he sounds so sure of himself. He's like, I'm not going to die there. I wasn't going to die there. He doesn't seem scared of death. He's kind of coming on some new, like, spiritual, like he's been meditating.
He probably feels like he belong.
Because they're lost souls just like he's a lost soul.
Right.
Okay.
That whole conversation was great.
Yeah, I know I did. I love that conversation. But I feel bad for Madison as a mom because she's like, what the fuck? Like, it was better when you were a drug addict, you know? I could deal with that. I knew how to handle you better than I do now.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's what she said. She's like, you've been different ever since we left LA. And I think Nick even mentioned, like, since I've been clean. Like, you know, I'm not using anymore, you know?
I guess it's different that she doesn't have to take care of him anymore. That he's taking care of himself. He's moving out. He's moving around more. He doesn't need her. And I think that's the her biggest issue.
Right.
But I loved in the conversation when he told her that he went and got, Cecilia's son, because she wanted him, just like when he was on drugs, or he was an addict, his mother wanted him.
Right. I like that, too. That was a good part. That was some good acting there, too.
Yeah, that was a good point he made.
And that is what shut her up a little bit.
Right.
All right, next on our list of likes, we have Travis sticking it out with Chris, and he does this knowing that Chris can't go back. Alicia's already told Travis that, hey, we woke up and he was outside of our bed, like right there with a knife.
Well, she exaggerated a little bit.
How did she exaggerate? I would too.
She said he was standing right over me.
He was. We said that last week.
But I guess it don't matter where he was at in the room with the knife, you're standing over me.
Yeah, you're standing over me, Gary. He was right there. He was like right by the next to the bed. It's not like they were at the bed and he was still at the doorway. He went all the way to the bed.
Well, when they woke up, wasn't his back turned? Was he going toward the patio door or something?
No, he had that. I don't know. I don't recall. I don't know. But he had that gun. He had that knife in his hand.
Yeah, I think when he heard the alarm, he kind of backed up and went toward the door. And that's when he woke up and like, what are you doing? Well, like I said, it don't matter where he was at in the room. If you're in a room with a knife looking at me.
Right. At nighttime, we were sleeping. That's psycho level.
Right. Every time I tell this story, I'm going to say I almost died that night.
Right. He almost killed me. Each time you tell the story, it's going to get a little bit more serious, a little bit more scarier.
The knife is just close to my head.
Right. Yeah, the knife against my throat.
I get what she's saying.
But what do you think about Travis staying with him? Do you think that was a good idea, especially after their fight, like physical fight?
No. I think that was all bad. All bad.
So he should have left with Nick when Nick came in and got him?
I thought he was going to kill Chris. I thought when Chris started crying and saying that, you know, he's no good anymore, I thought Travis was going to put him out of his misery.
I'm there with you. Like, when they were wrestling and Chris was trying to, like, he literally took Travis's knife out of his belt pocket or whatever he had it, and he tried to stab Travis.
He tried to kill him.
With his own knife. When Travis finally got it from Chris, I was like, man, Travis is going to have to put down his own son. Like, I thought he was going to say, look at the flowers. Like, I really thought he was going to kill him.
I mean, Chris did the most this episode. He pointed a gun at Travis. I mean, he actually was going to... Well, he threatened to kill Travis. Threatened him with the gun.
Held a little boy hostage.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yo, Chris went full psycho.
Full psycho.
It's almost unbelievable. But then it's not because, you know, we said there was something wrong with him in the first episode.
No, on the first episode of season 1?
Right. Well, when they first introduced him, man, the little attitude he had, we were saying that he was a little off or he was a brat.
I thought he was a brat, but there's like a long difference of being a brat and being like a psycho killer. And if you think about it, to me, this is so far off from the character that we met. And what you can imagine has only been maybe a month or two away. Because when we met him in season one, episode one, he was out there on the streets videotaping protesters going like, yeah, you know, like, hey, we need our rights. And now, like, he wanted to help people. And now he's killing people or wanting to kill people or whatever it is that he's doing. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with his character, but I don't see how he can come back from that.
You're mistaking him videotaping the protesters and being out there as if he was out there for the cause. Remember, he was on his way. He was on a bus going somewhere and the bus stopped and he got out. Was like, oh, wow, this stuff is crazy. Let me start videotaping. So he wasn't out there actually trying to help people. He was out there, you know, it was circumstance. He just happened to be there.
All right. And now that we're talking about it and you're just saying that again, back when they were at Daniel's barbershop, I mean, now we pick, you know, when someone turns crazy, now you start pinpointing every single thing they did. And you're like, I remember when they did that. I remember they, you know, they cut that butter, they cut their toast with the sharp knife rather than a butter knife. Or, you know, you just start pinpointing everything. But right. I do remember when they were at Daniel's barbershop, he, like, tried to, like, you know, snatch or swipe one of Daniel's razors. And Daniel's kind of like, hey, put that down, buddy. Like, we're not going to be using anything. You know, we won't be using anything like that. It was like right when they got to the barbershop.
See, he was gradually building up to the
psycho. Yeah. So if you want to think, you know, if you want to look at all the things that Chris has done in these last two seasons, that could be one of them saying, hey, you know, there were little small signs.
Yeah.
But it does seem like, boom, it did seem to escalate pretty fast.
In a flashback, we're going to see him torturing a dog or something.
Right. All right. So Daniel's wife's ghost, I didn't like that part, but I do like something she said. And when Daniel was talking to her spirit or whatever, and he was saying, like, describing his first victim. He's like, that was my first victim. I never told you about it. Someone handed that little boy a gun, and it was kind of like, kill this person or I'll kill you. You could assume that threat was made. And Daniel, as a little boy, less than 10 years old, I can assume, killed his first victim. And the wife, I like when she said, no, the first victim was you.
Right.
And I like that because it seems like that would make Daniel go to peace with himself.
Yeah.
Although at the same time,
you would think so.
Isn't he having this conversation with himself? So it's like he already knows that he's the first victim? Because the wife is not really there, so.
Well, she's really in his head.
Yeah, but that conversation he's having with himself.
Well, we see that, but he's not seeing it.
No, but so that means I'm saying that that's his subconscious. He knows it. He knows that that's his own thoughts. Like, if I have a conversation and go, okay, this is what my mom would tell me, and then technically my mom's not telling me.
That's
I'm
different.
Having that conversation myself.
What you're saying is you're speaking to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Him, he's actually speaking to a person, which is in his head.
Yes, but where did that thought come from? That's not the wife's thought.
I'm saying that's his thought, but he doesn't see it as it's coming from himself. He sees it as it's coming from the person that he's actually talking to, which he's not actually talking to, but he's talking to in his head.
No, I understand that, but it just seems like in that case, those thoughts are really in the back of his mind. Like, part of him knows, since he's able to have this conversation with the ghost wife, part of him should know that he is the first victim. Part of him should know that.
Well, you think so.
You know? Okay, I might be you going too so. Deep. They have this Inception.
You're going very deep.
Yeah, well, they gave us this Inception thing, so I'm trying to make this a deep show. You
know? I'm pretty sure the writers, they have that in mind.
Okay. I mean, hey, there was like a dead wife or a crazy wife in Inception, too. The dreams. All right, but did you like that saying that he was the first victim?
I did, and I agree.
Okay.
Another thing I liked in this episode was Maddie trying to take up for Strand. When she went in the room after Strand killed his boyfriend. What is this guy's name?
Thomas?
Thomas, yeah. After Strand killed Thomas, she came in the room and was like, you know, that's my friend. She was concerned about him. So it was good to see that their relationship kind of building. Or they're getting close. You know, we keep seeing on social media that, you know, they're going to be the next couple.
Mm-hmm.
Which it seems like that may be true.
tell anymore. Because Strand was like, don't think of us, like, don't try to act like we were friends. We were people that needed each other for a certain amount of time, and that time has passed.
That was a hurt person talking.
Yeah, it clearly was a hurt person talking, because at the end, what did he do? When he saw they were in need of help, he went and saved them.
See, that's how you seen it.
Oh.
I didn't see it like that.
What'd you see it as?
I see it as he didn't want to be by himself. I think the fire just happened just in time for him.
Just in time. Okay. He started that fire. No.
I think he would leave it and the fire started. He's like, oh, man. Because, you know, nobody want to be out there by themselves.
Right. That's what I... You know, I felt bad for him when he was leaving. Because if he was leaving at nighttime... And I'm like, damn, that's cold. But, like, they can't let him stay till the morning. And I also thought, like, that'd be so scary to be there by yourself. Not just by yourself, but by yourself at night. In right. unfamiliar place.
Yeah.
With zombies. I mean, it'd be scary just in regular world, you know, everyday life, to be somewhere by yourself at night. Like, walking down a street by yourself, scared. And then, like, for it to be zombies out there, too, it just magnifies it, like, 10 times.
Right.
All right, but I don't think he picked him up because he didn't want to be alone. I do think it was because he has genuine feelings for them.
Maybe.
Because he even said, when she's like, oh, I can't leave without Travis, he's like, yeah, you're right, you know, you take care of your own. And it was kind of like still separating him from them.
That's what I said, that was a hurt man talking.
And the only way he'd be hurt is if he had feelings for them, if he felt like, hey, we are a group now. We are no longer just strangers to one another.
Nah, I'm not going to give him that.
All right. Well, that's it for our likes. Now onto our dislikes. Celia's speech.
Everything else.
Yeah.
The rest of the show.
The whole rest of the show. The other 45 minutes out of the 50 minutes. No. Celia's speech. Like, I don't even remember because she had like 5 speeches. So I didn't write the first one down because I was like, oh, Celia's speech. But I'm like, damn, she gave like 5 more speeches throughout the episode. So I'm hoping she's dead. We didn't get to see her die. You never know.
Yeah, we didn't.
But all her, just her whole character, it was getting on my nerves. They gave her like way too many talking points. I'm like, does she know somebody? Is she a friend of the family? Is she somebody's second cousin? Like, because where the hell did she come from? And then like she dominated this episode.
She did have the most dialogue.
She was, like, in almost every scene. I'm like, hold on, you're not even a main character. What are you doing? I was tired of her. And then we kind of mentioned last week, but her telling Strand, you have to go. I'm like, I know you've been living in the house for a long time, and you've been taking care of Thomas. And, yes, I understand her saying that she does consider Thomas her son. I have no problem with her saying that. I actually like that. But who is she to make them leave? Like, is her name... On the deed?
Well, I guess she have more rights to it than anybody else. She has taken care of him. But what's funny to me is when they would bury him, she said, today I'm no longer a servant.
Yeah, I did like that too. Like, okay, our last master has died. We are all right. Now free.
We're free now.
She's like, our sins are gone. And yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But
she knows she can't wait for Thomas to be in the dirt.
Right. I thought she was going to give him the little, you know, cracker or whatever.
Yep.
All right, Chris running away from Travis. I didn't like that. Just like from the moment when Travis is like, hey, Chris, and then he runs away. Like, why he put his dad through all this? Like, I didn't like it.
I don't know. That was like the worst storyline ever. It was just a bad storyline. I mean, I understand he got caught with a knife in his hand. I gotta say, you're being a little embarrassed.
Right. He should have spent it a different way.
Yeah, he should have, you know, first of all, if they would have caught me with a knife in my hand, I would have tried to blend in with the room. I would have sit there with my eyes closed.
Yeah, stand frozen.
You don't see me.
Or I would have been like, I was sleepwalking. Or I thought I heard a walker in here.
But, you know, he gave himself up. He ran. He was guilty. But instead of running, I probably would have came in the next morning for breakfast like, oh, yeah, man. That like, was crazy, wasn't it?
Right. She's like, I ain't shit gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, how did y'all sleep?
Right. Like, what? What do you mean I was in your room? Shit. Was I sleepwalking again? Like,
right.
Anything. You better play it off like Deny.
He should have.
Yeah, running makes you look guilty. All right, now I know you said that was the worst storyline, but honestly, they fucked Daniel's character up. Like, Daniel was a fan favorite. He was close, like in our top three favorites as far as Nick, Strand, and then Daniel. They made Daniel go, like, completely crazy. Like...
Well, it was gradually.
No. What do you mean? From last week or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so, like, two episodes, he went semi-crazy to full crazy. I don't like what they did with his character.
I didn't think it was so bad. I kind of like the story they were trying to tell with his character. In fact, I mean, that's probably what made this episode.
Was Daniel's craziness.
Yeah, exactly.
It just seemed like Daniel was always more the reasonable one. He always knew something was going to happen because he had so much background. He had so much experience. Whereas now, everything, like before, it was everything was based on logic. Now it's like, okay, we got to go because this place may be haunted. The spirits, you know, the spirits are here and all this other stuff. And it's like, hold on, that wasn't Daniel before. I mean, not saying they were not religious. They were, I'm assuming they were religious. I believe Philia said she went to Catholic school. But I just don't want to believe that Daniel let himself lose control like this.
Well, the thing is, we have to get Daniel's full background story. We only got a piece here and a piece there. I'm pretty sure once we get the whole thing, because I don't think he's dead. But I'm pretty sure that after we get the whole thing, we will have a better understanding of why he flipped out, how he flipped out this episode.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's dead either. It was just weird. Like, what was he doing laying down in the... I didn't get that scene either. When he set the fire, like, why'd you set so much fire? Your legs are burnt, your clothes are getting on fire. And then how was he just laying down in the ground and there was fire on one side of him and fire on the other side of him, but there's actually no fire on his laid body? How did fire, like, get around him, but not actually on him? Like, his body should have been up in flames.
Yeah.
And then, like, how did he all of a sudden lay down? Like, what was he doing laying down? Like, what happened? How did he pass out or whatever happened to him? And then why he just stand there? And that can keep going on and on about whys. Like, like, also, okay, well, next on the list, is since we're there, is where the hell was Celia? Like, Madison had just put Celia in there and locked her in. Then Daniel comes, which you can assume a few minutes later, and it doesn't even, like, show a zombie fight Celia, or where was she? Like, is she dead?
She wasn't one of the zombies?
I mean, unless it didn't, like, close up on any of the zombies to show, like, that's Celia. So if she was there in the mix, it didn't show it to where we would recognize her.
Okay.
So do you think she's dead, and maybe that's why they didn't show us her? Or do you think she's not dead, so. I mean?
I don't think she's dead. I mean, if they didn't show her, she's not dead.
Right. Just like they didn't show Luis and he came back. Celia's son.
Oh, that dude was dead.
No, but he's Walker dead.
Oh, we got different levels of dead now?
Yeah, I mean, on your level, you know. But, okay, let's talk about, though, when Madison put her in that cage or whatever. Like, first of all, I don't know why they actually walked inside. And then, second of all, why were the zombies way over there? Like, that cage was big.
They were feeding.
Okay. Only because last week when the little boy was talking to his mom, they were all up against the fence.
Yeah, but, I mean, we seen, like, shortly before this happened, we see the guys. Remember, Daniel was outside. Well, not shortly. It was, like, probably an hour earlier.
Okay.
Or earlier today, we seen Daniel outside, and they kept bringing hogs and dropping it in the hole. So we can only assume they were over there eating.
Okay.
That's why they weren't against the cage. And that's why they were nowhere near them when they walked in.
But I don't even get why they went inside the cage. Like, why didn't you just show her from outside? Like, see? There they are. Like, I don't even see why they went inside.
Well, I don't think Cecilia is a dumb person. I think she knew what Maddie was going to do when she went in there. And that's why she gave that little speech about family and everything and protecting her. You know, the little speech she gave.
Right.
I think she already knew what Maddie was going to do, and she gave her the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, because she didn't look shocked. She didn't scream. She didn't try to run.
Yeah, she wasn't shocked at all.
So what do you think? Is there a hiding spot in there, or is there a little area she can go and climb in? I don't know. Like, what do you think? Or do you think that's the last we'll see of Celia?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I keep hearing everybody saying how evil she is. She's an evil person. People are actually scared of her. And you see that she's running things.
I'm thinking she may be this year's villain.
Maybe.
Because have we had a female villain? Like, not a long female villain. We've had, you know, a bad female here or there. But we've never had, like, a woman that was the season villain.
Yeah, we haven't.
Or at least when we're saying we haven't, it's only season two. But we mean, like, as far as The Walking Dead, they haven't had, like, a long season villain. So, a female season villain. So, we'll see. I would like to say I'm looking forward to the rest of the season, but, you know, probably time August comes, I'll be like, oh, I can't wait for the rest of the season. But right now, I'm like, I'm glad I could use this little break right here.
I agree with you. And the thing is, I was really enjoying the show. I was really enjoying, like, last week's episode was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I'm not really looking forward to next season. I mean, the next half of the season. But that's just disappointing to me. Because last episode was just amazing. I mean, the storyline was on point. We was tweeting. We couldn't wait to get on here and podcast about it. So I thought they were going to go extra hard for the mid-season finale. And they dropped the ball big time.
I agree.
Whoever wrote last week's episode, they should have got him to write this episode. Him or her.
Right. All right. Well, that does it for our recap or our likes and our dislikes. We will now go over to any listener letters or comments we have. We have a comment today from Scott and Funky, or Fuki, on Twitter. And they wrote, terrible. They're talking about the episode. None of the characters ever stay in character or have motivation that makes sense. Tiresome mess.
I agree and I disagree. I mean, this wasn't the best of shows, but I don't think it had anything to do with the characters or the actors. I think all the actors did a great job.
I don't believe they're talking about the actors. I believe they're talking about the characters themselves. They're saying none of the characters stayed in character, meaning Daniel was strong one minute and then now he's going crazy the next. Chris was kind of like bratty and annoying, but now he's super psycho. Nick was pretty cool, but now he's like just too cool. He's on chill mode. So I think that's what they meant.
Okay, I see what you're saying. And I can agree with that. We have had a change of characters. Me and Nicole usually talk about this in other shows where a character is one way, one season. Like, they just build that character up to be just this person. And then next season, they kind of change characters on you. Like, it's the same person, but that character's not the same. And I guess that's what he means by this.
Right.
Which, I disagree. I mean, I think this show is probably badly written. But if it was written a little better, this would be believable. Like, I don't believe Chris running away. Like I said, I can't believe Daniel going crazy. I mean, we see how he's fighting his past. He's struggling with it. We've seen when he was on a boat two episodes ago. Was he on a boat when he was just looking straight ahead and his daughter kept saying, Dad, are you okay? Are you okay? Remember?
Oh, when Ophelia?
Ophelia, yeah.
Okay.
I think they were on a boat and he was just sitting there looking still, looking straight ahead. I mean, we've seen him building up to this.
All right.
So, like I said, it's kind of believable, his part of it. And I think it's believable. Nick's character is believable. And Maddie hasn't changed.
Right.
Maddie's been Maddie. So the only people I can see changing a little bit is probably Nick. Not Nick, I'm sorry. Probably Chris. Maybe Travis.
All right. Now to our award and prediction. This week's I Ain't Fearing Shit, I'm going to have to give it to Nick. Nick was going out there, not that I agree with what he's doing, but he was going out there. He's clearly not scared. I mean, he said, I'm not scared. I'm not fearing anything from these walkers. So I'm going to give it to him. He was pretty brave, stupid, but brave. And I think if he comes back to the group or he ends up starting his own group, he's going to be a powerful character because he's going to show them other ways of getting around the walkers. Now, will he be able to fight humans when they become a threat again? I'm not sure. But right now, I'm going to give I Ain't Fearing Shit to Nick.
All right, that's a good one. I'm going to have to give the I Ain't Fearing Shit award to Daniel because he said, I don't fear nothing. Those words actually came out of his mouth that he doesn't fear the dead. He doesn't fear her. And then he said the place on fire.
All right. Well, most likely to die, maybe Daniel. I'm going to give it to Daniel.
I disagree with that. I'm going to have to get a most likely to die to Travis. I think his psycho son's going to kill him.
Right. I mean, I was so sure that he was going to kill him this week. It looked like, I didn't know who was going to kill who, but it looked like one of them were going to kill the other.
I think when the show come back on in August, they're not going to show us Travis dying, but we're just going to know.
No, they would never not show us.
We're going to see Chris walking by himself. He's going to be wearing the same shoes that the guy gave Travis.
Now that's a good one. All right, you guys. Well, until August, we will be back then. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Bye.